If you listen to the show, you know I like to have a lot of divergent viewpoints. I think that makes for a better show and better conversation. And I'm all about the conversation, and thanks to all of you for tuning in today, however you find us over the air, online, podcast, all good. All right, joining us in studio from Delta Defense, I've been practicing this name over and over again. Katie Poynter Bainey joins us.
You nailed it.
I said it like six different ways before the show. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Steve.
Tell me about Delta Defense.
All right, so Delta Defense is the service provider for the United States Concealed Carry Association, or the USCCA. We are a membership organization. We have just shy of 800,000 members across the country. These are responsibly trained gun owners who are looking, again, to kind of up their skills. We're a training and education organization. They want to be responsible gun owners, so they join us to get world-class training, education, and self-defense liability insurance. So we have folks all across the country, again, nationwide, from all, you know, political affiliations and genders and race, and so it's an incredible community of folks.
I think that's the part that people forget. They always assume, well, it's Republicans, conservatives, that they talk about gun rights. It's all kinds of people, both genders, all races. That's the part that I think people miss.
Mm-hmm. Completely. Especially over the past 2 years, right, where we have seen millions of new gun owners and predominantly sort of the non-stereotypical gun owners, right? We're talking women, we're talking minority groups. Those are the folks that have been buying firearms over the past couple of years. And so we've had to also, you know, look to them and say, hey, the USCCA is here for you wherever you are in your self-defense journey. You just purchased your first gun. Where do you start? What do you do? And so I would encourage, you know, all folks listening to check out the USCCA, check out the resources that we have. Because again, at the end of the day, you can't just buy a gun, keep it in your house, put it in your safe, and think that you're prepared to respond.
You use the word responsible. I've argued with some really strong gun folks, and I own guns. I've got, I think, 7 or 8 now. I have friends that have 25 different weapons. My understanding of the word responsible is you understand what the responsibilities are. You store your guns and your ammunition safely. You take training. You shoot your weapons on occasion so you're familiar with how they work. Keep the safety on unless you're shooting at something. I mean, why is that such a hard thing for some gun owners to accept? It seems like an easy one for them. It should be an easy one.
It should be, and that's what the USCCA teaches, is a regular, consistent training regimen, right? It isn't just enough to purchase the gun and keep it in your home. You really need to continue to up your skills, to hone and sharpen your skills. We have a multitude of curriculum and training programs that we offer, tens of thousands of certified instructors across the country who are teaching classes about concealed carry home defense fundamentals, or if you have children in the home, what do you do, and where do you properly store your gun? And so that is all part of the ecosystem of being a responsible gun owner. And we believe, I mean, you have a fundamental inalienable right to self-defense enshrined in the Second Amendment, but it is a massive responsibility to be a gun owner. And so that's what the USCCA continues to teach and preach to, again, our over 800,000 members.
Yeah, and one of the things that I want to get to some specifics here. So one of the things I've talked about in respect to mass shootings, and I was part of one as an elected official in the city of Oak Creek, is that the short-term response, I think, needs to be hardening the targets, right, to increase security. Your thoughts on that approach? I think that's one that a lot of people talk a good game, but when it comes to actually giving assets to get that done, kind of falls by the wayside sometimes.
I think it is a great alternative. Let's take, for example, schools. And of course, we have seen too many school shootings. So instead of the initial knee-jerk reaction, which is let's ban arbitrary weapons, the reaction should be let's take a look. This needs to be an above-all solution. What ways can we harden schools? Can we prepare teachers to respond? I mean, I think there's some really easy, simple solutions here. And I think the most common sense first step is to have armed SROs in schools or to have armed law enforcement in some sort of, you know, deal with your local law enforcement agency. Again, that's the key first step. If you're a parent and you're thinking about sending your child to school every day, wouldn't you feel better with an armed SRO there to protect your child in the case of, you know, the worst? But wouldn't you also feel better about what, you know, a double lock system and a single point of entry and sorts of panic buttons and things that we can install, really simple solutions that we can install in schools to harden them as a target? I mean, we know that evildoers are going out and they're reviewing security protocols. We saw that in the Nashville shooting. that allegedly that shooter took a look and said, hey, which one of these schools is going to be the easiest target for me? I mean, again, if you're a parent, do you want your school to be on, you know, the evildoer's easy target list? No.
Do you think America's ready to accept the fact that we have to be cognizant that people are going to threaten schools, threaten places of worship? Are we ready to have that conversation? Because I keep falling back on it, the initial reaction to mass shootings. We go through the grief and the anger, and then it kind of just slowly fades until the next one. I think we should be ready and willing to spend dollars to make sure that these places where people gather, whatever that is, public spaces, are protected. It seems like a no-brainer, but yet we struggle with that.
Mm-hmm. We need to have proactive solutions that are even outside the conversation related to firearms and firearms policy. Right. Again, this is an above all approach. I think we also need to be realistic and honest with the American public that there isn't one legislative solution that is going to fix violent crime, that is going to make our communities or our schools safer. But again, to your point, the knee-jerk reaction is, well, here's, you know, ban all quote unquote assault weapons, and that's going to make our schools safer, which I think is super dishonest.
Well, how do you answer the question that I get a lot on the show is it's too easy to get guns?
Well, you're a gun owner. When you went and purchased a gun, you went to a federally licensed gun dealer, you went to purchase a gun, you had to go through a background check, and it depends state by state. But I think what's important to remember is when you go and purchase a gun legally, you are going through a background check. There are waiting periods in some states. There is a myriad of regulations around purchasing a firearm. So I would encourage folks who think it's really easy, or here in Wisconsin, go out to a licensed gun dealer and go through the process of trying to purchase a firearm. And it's not as simple as some people think. I had seen investigative journalists try to, I think it was trying to order guns online. And they fell into, you know, a handful of roadblocks, because this is one of the most heavily regulated products in the country. And so, again, when you're purchasing a firearm from a federally licensed dealer, you are going through a background check. But the reality, most guns used in violent crime, stolen, not purchased legally. I mean, again, we need to have just more of an honest conversation about this.
Is the other side of the equation, is stiffer penalties, more police officers, more SROs, is that another solution that we're not funding?
Yeah, absolutely. It's part of the solution, right? We need not only a stricter enforcement of the gun laws already on the books, but then we also need increased penalties for breaking current law. And again, that's all part, I think, of the solution ecosystem when we're talking about this. But too quick, it's ban assault weapons or enhance background checks, as if somehow that is going to magically solve all of our problems. And it's just a fallacy.
We are listening and responding to Katie Pointzer-Bainey, who's joining us from Delta Defense. A conversation about gun rights, gun ownership in this country. An important conversation because last time I checked, we have, 400 million firearms in the country?
Yeah, best estimate.
And that's where the responsibility piece, I think, really comes in. And I want to ask you after the break about gun locks, because I think that's something that pops up a lot on the text line. What about gun locks? Why aren't people, you know, securing their weapons? We'll ask you about that. The 28th Amendment. We'll get to all of that with Katie Pointzer-Bainey after this on WTMJ. Conversations about firearms, guns, weapons in some cases are important to have. And I always want to have a divergent opinion. And we are joined by KT Pointzer-Bainey. I practiced that name so many times. I should say it more smoothly than that. From Delta Defense and
the USCCA, United States Concealed Carry Association.
And I mentioned before the break, gun locks. I'm a big advocate. I've seen too many stories where people should have had their guns locked or secured and they didn't, and, you know, tragedy results. And then that goes to that responsibilities piece. And you told me something during the break that I wasn't aware of. Any new purchase?
That's right. Every new legal purchase of a firearm does include a gun safety lock in it. Oftentimes it's buried in the case, but ones are provided. And I think the important point here is trying to legislate that we mandate locks, or that we mandate every firearm is locked in a home, is a fallacy at the end of the day, because everyone's home and ecosystem at home is going to be different. If you have young children or grandchildren in your home and, you know, you don't want to make sure the firearms are accessible to them, of course, use the gun lock. That may not be the case for everyone. So again, the idea of legislating and mandating that you have to have a gun safety lock on your gun when you're at home, I think is silly, but they are provided when you purchase a firearm. It's an important part of being a responsible gun owner and, again, just evaluating your home.
Let's talk about the Constitution and amendments. The Second Amendment, in your mind, what does that guarantee to gun owners or to Americans?
Yeah, I think we have an inalienable right to self-defense, God-given, that is enshrined in the Second Amendment. We saw recently, last June, the Supreme Court ruled in the Bruin decision, and it really expanded our understanding and the legal understanding of the Second Amendment and where it applies. Not only does it apply in our home, our right to have a firearm in our private property also extends beyond, which is why you have seen such a push across the country for constitutional carry. We've had over 26 states adopt constitutional carry.
Critics would argue that it's led to no rules, where people in states are saying no firearms training, you just go get a weapon, and getting rid of any restrictions. That's not what it says, or is that what it says?
Every state is slightly different in how they have written their rules in regards to constitutional carry. But as at the USCCA and our almost 800,000 members, we know that the government mandating training doesn't make you a responsible gun owner. I think that also is sort of a fallacy. It's as if Wisconsin says, all right, you have 10 hours of training. Here's your stamp of approval. You are a safe gun owner forever. I mean, that doesn't make sense either. We understand it needs to be consistent and regular training. So just because states have adopted constitutional carry doesn't mean there's this sort of wild, wild west that a lot of gun control proponents are trying to advance. It's not the case.
We've seen the push for states to do their own thing when it comes to some of the restrictions and allowances for gun rights. There's an idea, 28th Constitutional Amendment, that says states should regulate firearms completely. I assume you have a position on that.
This is a really unserious proposal put forward by Governor Gavin Newsom of California. It's unserious because no Article 5 convention has ever been called in the history of our country in order to amend the U.S. Constitution. These are a lot of recycled gun control talking points that are included in what this quote-unquote 28th Amendment could look like. But at the end of the day, this is a political stunt meant really to raise the profile of Governor Newsom, I think, for his future political ambitions.
We got to get out of here because we got to get to break. But first of all, thanks for coming. And I always want to hear the viewpoints of a lot of different people, and your organization certainly represents that group. Anything on the horizon that we should be looking at when it comes to gun rights or gun legislation? We talked about the 28th Amendment. Here in Wisconsin, what are you hearing? What are you seeing?
Yeah, I think there is some debate at the state level. I know we've seen it, especially in Milwaukee, as it relates to reestablishing SROs and law enforcement.
Which I'm a big fan of, by the way.
We are as well. The USCCA believes that that's an easy first step, having law enforcement and SROs back in public schools, especially in Milwaukee, where we've seen spikes in violent crime over the past couple years. This has been a big debate. I think this is an easy answer. Put law enforcement back in Milwaukee public schools. At a federal level, you're going to see, as we, you know, primaries kick off, presidential debates kick off, crime and guns are going to be a massive issue. They're on the minds of the public, of course, as crime is, you know, spiking across the country. People are purchasing firearms for self-defense. I think this is going to continue to be a prevailing issue as we head into the presidential year.
Katie Poynter-Bainey, thanks for coming in. I appreciate your expertise and knowledge from your side of the aisle. Appreciate
Steve,
it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, we'll have you on again.